as I'm an empath for the most part, and I think
Mm-hmm.
most therapists are. But there are some that are not, because I've seen some narcissistic ass therapists.
Okay, that sounds fucking weird. Like, how could you? That sounds like the opposite of being a therapist to me. Like, I would think that a therapist would have to be 70% empath at some point, because wouldn't you have to care in order to sit and listen to someone? Or wouldn't you have to care in order to say, okay, how do you think we should fix this? Or have you tried this? Or come up with a solution? Like, how the fuck are you a narcissist
Because some
and a
people prey
therapist?
on other people.
You're right. Let me shut up. Okay.
You are now tuned in to the dopest podcast, What's Been Better, with Sly and Lori Sit and Chop Game. So buckle up your seatbelts and open up your mind. What's Been Better is about to go live.
This is episode 23 of What's Been Better. This week, we're talking about therapy. Typically, we talk about my experiences as a client, but this time, I want to talk about Lori's perspective. If you've been here before, you know that we cuss. And if you're new here, please get used to how we emphasize. Also, like, share, subscribe, do something with this episode, but do not keep it for yourself. You know we love positive reviews because they help other people find this show. Thanks in advance.
Yes, 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 yes.
All
hey,
right.
Sylvia. Hey, y'all.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Hi. How's everybody
Yes.
doing? How your mama doing? All that good stuff. Like,
right. All of those things. Right.
Right. Well, ooh, I'm hot. You hot. Atlanta's hot. The block is hot. Let's get into this.
Girl, let me start by asking you what's been better.
75 things are better. It's, I'm having a tough time trying to figure out what's better. So if you follow me on any of my platforms here, any social, you know that we are having a bathroom renovation that we have been waiting for since 2017. Like, let's stop there. We no longer have pink tile in one of our bathrooms. Holy shit. So that has been amazing. Just
I'm excited for you.
Mind-boggling. And Donald Trump is getting arraigned today. I love accountability, so I'm like, yay, do that. And I'm talking, because earlier I was barely talking to you because I chipped my tooth. So that's been sucking.
Ooh, let me tell you something. First of all, congratulations on the bathroom.
Yay.
Like, that's something. And I understand where you're coming from. Like, if you all haven't seen her bathroom, you wouldn't know what she's speaking of. Now, I'm someone who, I think I'm a settler sometimes. I just adjust to things. It's just like, I tolerate a lot of shit. I didn't realize that until, not now. I think I've realized it for a while. But your bathroom was fine to me. However,
that's what my mom said.
She said the same thing. I love it because it reminds me, like, I like retro shit. Like, your bathroom was a nice, pretty retro bathroom, and I like the pink. I like the inline door. Like, it was just different. And so, but I also like renovations.
Yeah.
And I like the before and after type of scenario. So I'm excited for you, because I know you didn't like it. And so, and now, do you love it?
I am slowly falling in love with it. I think I'm still, like, coming down off the high of, like, I drew that. It
Girl,
was, like, my idea.
That's
in the
oh
middle
my
of the
God.
Night.
And you're married to an architect. Like,
right.
All the
so,
things. Like,
just chef's kiss to be able to, like, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And being like, I think we should have two bathrooms. I think we should just figure out how to have two bathrooms.
I love
how
the you
hell
just
we have two bathrooms. Oh, no.
Well, but you manifested that, you know, and you actually was like an alchemist in this type of scenario. Like,
kinda, yeah. Kinda, yeah. So
that's,
to finally,
I love it.
Save the money, save the time, and I know people are going to be like, "Well, aren't you the black girl with tools? Why don't you do it yourself?" I know my limits,
right?
Let me tell y'all. The bathroom that we're currently renovating had no shower in it. It now has a shower. It had a sink and a toilet, and it now has a shower. I know my limits. Mm-hmm. I was not going to be able to figure that one out. There's a lot of things I can do. That was not it. Well, and I wasn't gonna fuck it up.
Yeah, well, when I saw that big ass hole that you were talking about, cause I was like, what is she talking about? Until I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's I think it would be out of your wheelhouse. You know, mm-hmm. like everybody's not able to do the things.
No.
So
no. And I also realized in the demo part of it mm-hmm. that I'm a builder. I can put stuff together.
Right.
You don't catch shit up. I am not good for tearing shit up. Like that, right. I was like, this is draining. My hands don't like this. Why is there so much dust? It was just bad. I was like, oh hell girl. No. Let me put some shit together.
See, I can make again, some stuff. Again, we know our lane, so that's fine.
Yes.
And also, if somebody's saying that, fuck that.
Pretty much. You know, at this you point, know. Like, I had to turn the comments off on YouTube because they were getting wild. But
girl, bye.
Yeah, I don't have time. Mm-mm. I don't. I'm riding this little cloud, and I'm gonna keep riding it at this point. Like, just y'all don't know. Y'all I have love no it. Clue. Yeah. Yes, it might be cute to other people, but to me, I was like, this shit. Okay, let's put it like this. This I'm gonna seal this up with this. I did not want this house. I refused to look at this house.
Okay, I remember
because it had two pink bathrooms, and I did not realize, because from the pictures you don't realize that was really 1¾ of pink bathrooms. They weren't really separated. So it's a whole Jack and Jill thing. I'll probably put like a little video right here.
You can have to y'all. You did a video of the old bathroom.
Yes. Yeah,
because I love that, because it's so different. It's different than anybody would even think to, you wouldn't even know.
Yeah, and it's so hard to explain to people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not quite a Jack and Jill, and it's not quite like one whole bathroom, and it's not two separate bathrooms. But when I tell you it is now.
Yes.
It is now. So
that's what's up.
Very happy.
And I'm going to say you're a trooper, because if this were me today, I'd be like, I ain't doing shit today.
I know.
If my mouth was hurting. Right. So, so you actually give me hope. You're inspiration, honey. And your pain tolerance is off the chain. So.
It is. Let's just say I'm doing better, because I can at least laugh now, because this morning when we talked, I was not laughing.
Yeah, you sounded a mess. I ain't going to lie.
Mm-hmm. So. The medicine is working. I appreciate it.
God bless medicine. But,
yeah.
Very God thankful bless all for of it. It.
So, anyway, Lori, what's been better for you?
Okay. So, I went to New York last week, and I hung out with my daughter. She just finished the New York Film Academy.
Shout very, out very, to Tori. Very proud of her. Congratulations.
Yes, very proud of her. And her willingness to push through, because not only was this a graduation from a film academy where she realized that her art or her artistic ability really lies in photography, mm-hmm. and that was a part of the program too. She did some screenwriting, she did some videography, and then she did photography, and then she ended with the photography. And her photography skills are off the fucking chain. I'm like, is that my daughter? Like, and what's so interesting is she said that she liked photography because of all the pictures that I used to take when I was growing up and in college and things like that. So we never know, parents, how we influence our children, especially in the arts. You know, the things that we do, we sing, we dance, those things carry over. So whatever y'all doing, keep doing it. But, it really helped me to see her in another light, which it was really exciting to see. Which mm-hmm. not only did she graduate from there, she also graduated into adulthood. And I'm really happy. This was like a coming of age in a sense. Like she is 29, but she's, you know, well, she'll be 29 next week. But it, you know, a lot of her was like this little kid, you know, and how she perceived life, and she perceived life through her teenage life, you know. Or from when she was small or things like that. And now she's living in an adult life. And that was really beautiful to see, you know. Mm-hmm. And also, as she's learning from me, she's learning that we need to be not only mature, like age-wise, but mature emotionally.
Yeah.
So she's finding some of these things out. And so I'm really proud of her. New York was fun. I ain't gonna lie.
Isn't it?
We had a ball.
It's great. It's a great place.
Yeah. It was fun. It was fun to walk down and just be in the neighborhood with all the people. And it's so different from suburban life, like to be in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm able to walk in my neighborhood. We don't really have sidewalks. We can walk right on the, you know, but they have sidewalks. They like their lights every corner, you know, mm-hmm. and they have bodegas. Man.
Yeah.
And I don't know if sometimes people don't know what a bodega is, but it's just a corner store. It's a mm-hmm. corner store with all manner of shit. Like all manner of
yeah.
shit. Anything you want, one of those corner stores has them. And they're at every corner. And so one bodega, we went to bodega. I hope I'm saying it right. It was a health food, organic bodega. And man, when I tell you everything, like from my soap that I use, because I use that peppermint soap,
uh-huh.
that Bronner Brothers, I don't think it's Bronner Brothers, but it's
Bronner's.
Yeah, yes. Dr. Bronner's. They had that. They had all the things that I would eat, my like little cheeses, all the way from a Dr. Bronner, something organic like peppermint soap, all the way down to some cheeses, man. But then they had vegetarian meat, right?
Okay.
So they had that. They had smoothies. They had shakes. And so they, the first night, because I was starving when we got there, they made a veggie chicken burger.
Okay.
And I inhaled it. I totally inhaled it. But another time we went, and so after that, we just started going. We walked like 3-4 blocks just to get to that one, because there were so many other ones we could have gone to, but we didn't. We went
but
to that
one. Was like, it was your jam. So you had to keep going to it.
It was so my jam. And the people were so nice. By the way, if anybody's talking about how people are not nice in New York, that's not true.
Everybody has a different kind of nice. Like, because mm-hmm. people are like, people in Atlanta aren't nice. Ooh, it's just a different way.
Like, where are you going? Exactly. So,
Right. So
these guys were making, so another time we went in there, they were making my burger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I want some cayenne pepper on my burger, right?
You know, I told y'all last week, I told y'all, where you playing about this cayenne pepper.
I put it on everything, like for real. And then that's on God. I put it in my smoothies, by the way. I put my cayenne pepper in smoothies.
It's good for you, though.
It absolutely is.
It's good for your blood pressure, right? Isn't that what it's good for? Okay.
Yeah. It's good for so much, right? So you would think that you would ask somebody to put your seasoning into their, how they make something. Of course, mm-hmm. they're going to say no.
Right.
And so while the guy, you could see him making it in front of you. So I said, hey, can you put some of my cayenne pepper on the burger? He said, sure. He reached over, he got my cayenne pepper, he sprinkled that shit on there. I was like, and Tommy was like, look at you asking.
Right.
And see, if you don't ask, you're not gonna get.
No.
So all of this is part of my what's been better, y'all. I'm just gonna say, it was really beautiful to see my daughter go through this whole process and see her mature. It was awesome to see people in their element, being able to go to places like a bodega and everybody's really kind to you. And I can get some cayenne pepper sprinkled on my shit. I mean, I would have gone to do it anyway, but he did it. You know, it was all good. But I had an awesome time. I took a lot of pictures. I did some videos that Sylvia has, and I love that. And so, and I came back home because I was starting to get claustrophobic because everything in New York City is tiny. It's tiny as shit. Those apartments are tiny.
Yeah.
And, and I also got a chance to sit out on the balcony. It's the banister, the back thing, the fire escape. I got a chance to see.
Okay.
And that shit was oldest. You go out the window. Like I climbed out the window, Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
I was climbing out the window.
Like, you
and
had
it was
a straight
beautiful.
Up New York experience. Like,
girl, it was nice. It was all of the things. I had a ball and I was glad to get back home. So,
yay.
So yeah. So that's what's been better.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we talk about therapy, obviously, y'all. Like, if you don't know already, if you've been listening to this show and you still haven't figured out, or you're just joining us for the first time, I'm Sylvia, the client, and that's Lori, the actual therapist. So, we talk about therapy all the time, but we talk about it from the perspective of like me in therapy, or if we have guests, their experiences in therapy, or just the trials and tribulations of like what our perspective is on going to therapy. And we never really hear, Lori, what is it like being a therapist to all these people who have all these random ass life stories and all of this craziness that goes on with them? Like, how, like, what is it like? But I also want to ask you, when people are coming to therapy, what do you overall, like, general see that drives them to say, okay, we gotta go to therapy? Like, is there like a common thing?
Right. So I'll start with this. I don't just see anybody. Okay.
Okay.
I am a niche therapist, meaning I see individuals and couples. Mm-hmm. I see sometimes young people and sometimes older people, but my group of people that I normally see are anywhere between, I'm going to say 17 to like 70.
Oh, wow.
Maybe.
So that's like a gap.
It's,
okay.
Right. But the niche part is all relationship. It's all about relationship. It's all about the relationship with yourself and other people.
Okay.
So there's that. And so they come to me when they can't fix their shit. When it's gotten to a place where it gets so out of hand, right? And so the relationship, I see a lot of people dealing with the relationship with their self, and that is depression. That's a relationship issue with yourself. Anxiety, that's another relationship issue with yourself, right? But then you have anxiety relationship issue with yourself because of the relationship you have with another party, like work, or you know, your person, your special person, your family members. So there's that. And so when they, because people, like all of us, right, we try to take shit and deal with it ourselves.
Yes.
Because we are autonomous like that. And it's beautiful. We want to handle things ourselves. Who wants to be someone who's always dependent, right? There are people like that. But for the most part, a lot of people who come to me, which is another thing, we attract who we are. Right. So I am what you call, I'm an empath for the most part. And I think most therapists are, but there's some that are not, because I've seen some narcissistic ass therapists.
Okay, that sounds fucking weird. Like, how could you? That sounds like the opposite of being a therapist to me. Like, I would think that a therapist would have to be 70% empath at some point, because wouldn't you have to care in order to sit and listen to someone? Or wouldn't you have to care in order to say, okay, how do you think we should fix this? Or have you tried this? Or come up with a solution? Like, how the fuck are you a narcissist?
Because some people prey on other people.
You're right. Let me shut up. Okay.
And I'm just going to let you know, there are some people, sometimes it's very difficult to find a therapist, I'm going to say. Because once you go, because a lot of times when you think to get a therapist, right, that's daunting, number one. It's sometimes difficult to find one. And then when you do find one and then you don't get your needs met, that's very discouraging. So a lot of times you don't go back. Or if you got two people coming in there and one person doesn't like the therapist and the other person does, a lot of times they're not going to come back, because the other person who doesn't like the therapist is going to win out.
Okay.
Yeah, because life has been, right, in that home, chaotic. So for it to get unchaotic, that therapist might be doing that job. But if that other person is liking that chaos, they're going to get pulled right back into it. I'm going to say most of the time people come to me when they can't fix their shit. They are at their wit's end. They can't take it anymore. They've done everything they can do, and then they're like, I need to get a therapist.
So when they finally land on, okay, I need to get a therapist, and they're coming into seeing you, we all know that your first step is, how can I help? And we know that your second step is, what's been better, or second session. But in between that, are you also picking the client? Like, is there a point where you're like, I can't help them? Or is there a point where you're like, okay, this could, I think I could help them find the right solution.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so most of the time, which I'm so thankful for, I have a website, right? Mm-hmm. Move Forward CC, like counselingandcoaching.com. So moveforwardcc.com. If you go to that website, I broke everything down. So if you don't see yourself in my website, because I speak to you, I'm not really trying to talk to you about myself and glamorize myself. I'm saying, who are you? Are you this person in that particular sense? And if you see yourself in that website, you're going to call me.
Right.
If you don't see yourself, like, I do have all types of clients. Majority of my clients, probably about 98%, are African-American because they see themselves. But then other people who are not African-American, they see themselves too in what I'm saying, right? Mm. And so that's how, of course, I draw the people and that's how they come. And so they present with some of those things that I even talk about. Yeah.
Okay. So what are some of the things that you talk about that is like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Because like, for me, I don't remember because it's been like how many years?
Right. So one of them, the first thing is how we talk about things in our head, right? We have a negative narrative most of the time that's running in our head, probably about, 90?
All day, yeah.
Yeah, majority of the day, right? Mm-hmm. We'll say self-deprecating things. And so if you're doing that, and you don't recognize it because sometimes it's unconscious. If you're reading, the website and you see that, it's like, oh man, I do that, but initially you're going to come because you're going to click me because I'm on different sites like Psychology Today. I'm on Therapy for Black Girls. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, because you go to a big thing, you don't necessarily going to find my website unless you go to that. But when you click on that and you start reading it and you find out, oh, yeah, I do that. And then I'll talk about relationship issues, about how couples are saying cruel things to each other. Mm-hmm. And then they make up and then they don't resolve the issue. And then that shit just lingers and then it comes back up again like that, or there's another one when I was talking about as individuals, some of the things that we say we're going to do that we never do. Yeah. And then we start to beat ourselves up about the thing that we're going to do and we don't get around to it. So I create little narratives is what I do. And so if you see yourself in these narratives, then a lot of times you're going to call. Right.
Okay.
And so then I talked about how therapy is, because a lot of times people who've never had therapy, they don't know what to expect. Like they're afraid. Yeah. One, they think you have to be crazy to get therapy, and you really don't. You're right. Right. Yeah. And so you don't need, you don't have to be crazy. Also though, if your issues are like, say if you have bipolar disorder with psychotic features and things like that, or if you are borderline personality disorder, I'm sure people have heard that, but if you have some of those ailments, I can't really keep, after about 30, 40 minutes, since I see some of those characteristics play out in a session, I'm more than likely going to refer you because I don't deal with that type of issue, right?
Okay.
That's out of my wheelhouse. And I would probably recommend a psychiatrist who prescribes medication, things like that. So, but getting back to how a therapy session kind of goes, I kind of go into that to share how that would go. And for me, it's a conversation. I'm not going to be trying to ask you these deep-seated things. I'm going to allow you to share with me what's going on. And we're going to have a conversation and we're going to just talk. And that talking, I'm going to assess you.
I think that was probably the hook for me in sessions with you, because I didn't feel like you were rushing to figure out what was, not necessarily what was wrong with me, but rushing to figure out, okay, how do we just fix this? Like, what do we do?
Right.
It was really a feeler, like, Mm-hmm. Okay, are we going to be able to bond also? Are we going to be able to just carry this conversation? And in mm-hmm. that conversation, yeah, I get it. You were going to like assess, but mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was being assessed.
Right.
That's the difference.
That's the whole point. I'm not going to, oh, that's another thing. I'm not the type of therapist that's going to sit here and write notes.
No.
Not doing
that. So that's
that.
Another reason why I didn't feel like, it, you know, the saying used to be you're going to a shrink, a head shrinker, mm-hmm. and I didn't feel like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, which is very different, let me say.
Yeah.
Because I've
yeah.
been to a psychiatrist, I've been to a psychologist, I've been to therapists, I've been to counselors, I've been to all these different things, and everyone else, except for you and my therapist in Huntsville, but my therapist in Huntsville did take notes. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. But still, between the two of you, it was really just a conversation of like, okay, how are you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that? You know, mm-hmm. really not like super deep, but mm-hmm. still like deep enough of I was able to like just let open the valve a little bit, just decompress mm-hmm. just a little bit. But mm-hmm. also what I appreciate the most, that I don't know if it's intentional or not, it is a therapist that makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
And you pose questions and ask questions about things that's like, I did not even think about that perspective or think mm-hmm. about that thing. Mm-hmm. So I just clacked my teeth together. Hold on.
Oh, my God. Are you okay?
Mm-hmm. I said think, and it just... Okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
And we're back.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to start talking.
Go ahead.
So, for me, one, I've been taught. I'm like, I've been in school for this thing for 5 years, right? So mm-hmm. it was a 5-year program, really 3, but I just took my time because I wasn't gonna stress myself out. Mm-hmm. But in that time frame, we were trained, right, to ask certain questions. And it's all types of therapy. Like you have emotionally focused therapy, you have cognitive behavioral therapy. You have solution-focused therapy, narrative therapy, and some other ones. There's a lot of other ones. They're going to keep coming because there's so mm-hmm. many perspectives out there. But I line up more with solution-focused therapy, right? Because a lot of times people focus on the problem and how to fix a problem. I'm not trying to fix your problem. Mm-hmm. I want to know what you want. So in a session, I will say, hey, what brings you here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I'm going to ask you, what are your best hopes? I'm going to find out, what do you want? Because most of the time, we don't talk about what we want, right? And so,
mm-hmm.
And we've shared on this podcast about no one goes into a grocery store with a list of things they don't want.
Right.
And guess what? We speak every day, all day about shit we don't want. Mm-hmm. So what I ask is, what is it that you want? And when we get into problem talk, we start to speak about what we don't want. So yeah. I'll say, well, you know, what would you want instead? Like that kind of stuff. And so that's different. And I feed off of what you say. And then I pull it out because mm-hmm. what I understand and I know for sure is that you are the author of your life. You are the expert of your life. I am not the expert of your life. I know mm-hmm. what I'm doing. I know
yeah.
how to help you because you called me. You know, I'm going to charge you for calling me and I'm going to help you, right?
mm-hmm.
But at the
right.
same time, I'm not going to ever imagine that I know more than you about you. And I
okay.
think for me to have the clientele that I have, the people who come back to me year after year, which I'm so thankful for, is that they know I respect them. And I'm not trying to fix them. I'm not trying mm-hmm. to give you advice. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm not
yeah.
going to try to tell you what to do. I will tell you what I would do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Right?
That is
and then
difference.
I'm going to right. And then I'm going to ask you, what do you think about so-and-so? And sometimes people say, I don't know. Well, I'm going to sit there until you figure that shit out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because you know. You know.
You do know.
You okay. know. You know. But we're so, you're so worked up. And I will say, it's hard to, so it's hard to know what you want when you're in this realm of don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're inundated with this problem talking, you're constantly, you know, it almost annoying. Like, I can be in a session and sometimes get annoyed because I'm like, didn't y'all want to get help?
Okay, yes. But hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
You ask what you want, then you have people kind of a little bit of me and a little bit of I've seen other people you don't feel like you deserve. And then you have people who are, you know what you want, but you're terrified that you'll never get it. So you're like, I'm not going to admit that I want this.
That's possible. Yeah. That, I mean, definitely that.
So
definitely
it's just
that.
A fear thing of like, I don't know, but you know what the thing is, but you're like, if I let this out, this bird out this cage, like, is it going to come back?
Right. Right.
Am I actually going to get to experience the bird?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole bit. So I don't know. I get why the I don't know exists, and I think it's a fear thing. But I
get
think,
it.
I think the you being solution focused is what helps to finally say and declare like, okay, this is what I want. How do I get to the thing? So I think it does make a difference, but the initial like it's just fear.
It is.
You're scared that it's not going to happen, or you're scared that you're going to get it.
Yeah.
What do you do with it when you get it?
Exactly. So it's, it's just so interesting. Now as I start to think about even what you're saying, right? I have to also decide where I want to be in that space, right?
Okay.
Do I need to push? Do I need to pull back? Definitely work on, because none of us are perfect, right? So I will never say that I'm perfect in this space. I got shit that if you listen to some of the dang on episodes, you know, I got shit, and I have my own therapist. My therapists are a lot of authors. There are a lot of therapists who actually do podcasts. I've actually gone to therapy, Tommy and I. In fact, I would not have gotten married had we not gone to therapy. I think it's important because there's another knowing sometimes more than what you know.
Yeah.
And the knowing that you have, if you don't step into another knowing, you're going to stay in that same cesspool of your thinking. Right. So I think it's so important to do that. Right. But at the same time, it's like you really have to take certain things step by step. You can't go fast in therapy. You really cannot, you know. But I will tell you, there are sometimes I do fire people, Sylvia. I will fire your ass because I'm not wasting my time.
So you audit. Okay. So give me top three things that get you fired as a client.
Okay.
Top three.
Okay.
Did you write this down?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
If you're just coming in to complain.
Oh.
Because I'm going to let you complain in that first session. Okay. I'm going to let you vent, get that shit out. Because we need to. Sometimes you hold so much shit. Right?
Yeah.
You hold so much shit. And so I'm going to let you get it out that first session.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you an assignment. And if that second session, and I ask you what's been better, and all you have to do is talk about the same shit again over and over, I might even give you a third session. But no.
Wow. Okay.
Because you're not doing it. You're not doing the work. You're not even trying to do the work. Even if you vented a little bit more and you did a little bit of the thing. Like, for instance, I give most of my clients, the first book I give them is Four Agreements, right? Because to me, that's a basis for how to be in life. If you're taking shit personally and you're making assumptions on life, you need to stop that shit. Like, literally. Even if mm-hmm. you're not necessarily doing your best, even if you're not necessarily impeccable with your words, Sylvia, if you making assumptions and you taking shit personally, that's the majority of issues.
Yeah.
And if you're not trying to do your own due diligence to try to fix that, you're not, first of all, I don't even want to take your money.
Yeah. And I would think too, if you led with, I'm a solution focused therapist.
Yeah.
You can't rehearse over and over with Lori. It's not going to work.
And constantly complaining and not doing your work. I think that is the thing. And also, so another thing is beating up your client. I mean, your significant other in therapy, not physically. I've never seen that, and I'm so happy. But if you're constantly badgering that person and you're not trying to see the good in them, And so I actually, and we also work together. Like I work with lawyers, I work with judges, I work with doctors, because they'll see that some of their clients have depression, and they'll send me referrals, which I'm so thankful for. And then I do the same thing. If a person is ready to get divorced, I'm like, bet, boom, I got somebody for you, right? So we go back and forth with that. But one of my lawyer friends sent me this couple who they were divorced and they had a son. Jesus on the main line. They could not, and it was really amicable. Like it could have been that. But they argued so much, they fought so much, and it was during COVID, so we were on the Zoom. But I'm like, dude, did y'all forget that y'all have a son? Then that's why y'all came to me? Like, I could take your money all day. $250 an hour, that works for me. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want your money because you're not trying. You don't see the big picture.
Right.
You came here with an objective and you're not trying to meet it. You know, and I'm not here. I'm not a babysitter. I'm not your mama.
Right.
And I ain't married to your ass. So I don't have to, you know. Okay. So.
All right. What's the third one?
Oh, well, there. I don't know. I don't have a third one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well.
But I was just saying there are times when I'm going to fire you. You know, sometimes
I get it.
If, you know, if I see that you're really hella bent on not necessarily getting better, and and I'm not going to ever be cruel. So by no means, I'm saying this with the aggressiveness that I'm saying it now. It's not like that. I will lovingly share. I'm probably not the one for you, you know, or I notice that, you know, as I've given you this assignments, you're not doing it. And I'll even inquire, like to say, what's happening that you know, this is happening, you know? So that is a thing. But yeah, if these things are happening, you have to go. Because you're letting me know that you might have said you wanted help, but you really don't want to do the work to help yourself. I can't fix you. Sometimes people come in thinking that the therapist is going to fix them.
Yes, thought that.
No,
I'm definitely,
not.
I'm 100% guilty. And Lori was quick to be like, no, that's for you to do. I'm just here as a guide. And I'm still not going to tell you the answers. So which, at first, I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. Because I thought you were just going to, like, give me the answer so I could just go forward. And you were like, no. You have to work your own shit out. I'm here to help you do that. But I'm not going to do it for you.
But
I didn't quite understand if you gave me the answer that wasn't me doing the work. Like, if you gave me the answer and then I still had to go apply it, I was like, okay, I'm still doing, I'm doing something. But that wasn't the thing.
Well, do you know now? Like, do you get what I'm saying now? Like, if I were to give you these answers, Right.
Yeah. I totally get it.
Yeah. And some things, I mean, the answers are there in the conversation. Right. Like as we're talking, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, then that's what's up.
Yeah.
But if you're not, and I'm having to go and go, then we're not a good fit either. because again, I attract who I am to this therapy session too. So if I'm attracting the type of people that I want to help, and in this session, you really don't get what I'm saying, I don't know how to help you get what I'm saying, because I can't spoon feed you. I'm not going to spoon feed you, because it's not going to be beneficial to you.
I think your level of patience is like no other either, because you have clients like me who are like not very quick. I don't get it the first time, the second time. Oh, I get it now, you know, kind of thing. So I think that that's a little bit different as well. Like, you weren't easily frustrated as I've seen in like other scenarios. Or that I've experienced in other therapy sessions with like other therapists is like, well, I mean, we talked about that already, you know, kind of thing. Or
see, and that's interesting for me. So if you don't mind, if you could share with me what you've experienced in some other rooms, because I don't know that, right? Like, I'm just sitting over here in my little cubby hole space and people come to me. I don't know what it's like in another therapy room.
So a lot of it was, there was no comfort. I never really felt comfortable. You and the therapist in Huntsville, totally comfortable. I mean, us from probably the first 10 minutes, I can still remember. I was just, it was like I could breathe, first of all, because I had been holding my breath, I felt like, for a good 6 to 8 weeks at that point before I came to see you. So I will say that. I will say in other sessions, I think I've mentioned it before, of like just blatant disregard for, I don't want to be on medication. I'd like to try whatever and whatever. And people being like, well, you just need whatever the medication of the time was. And it was like, didn't I just say, you know, or trying to really quickly rush and diagnose and, you know, because those were psychiatrists. Or if I went to a psychologist or like a counselor, it was more like, well, I just don't think that you're putting in enough effort.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'd be like, I came with the assignment. I still feel whatever I feel. And they would be like, well, I just don't think that you're putting in enough effort.
Now, I might think that, right? And I might share it differently. Right, because I just had a couple, and sometimes I'll let you fire yourself. Because you can come to an impasse, and in that impasse, because I just had a couple who, one, they didn't read the book. Like, that's a telltale for me.
Yeah.
And then you going over the same thing, and I was like, I said, what do you think that is, you know, that you know, the reason why that's happening, you know? And so, really, in, like, the end of that session, they were at such an impasse. I said, you know what? Y'all reach back out to me when y'all ready to move forward.
Okay. So you also have to hit on that. You have to be ready to go to therapy. It's not a on the whim thing.
And when you could tell when people are, one person's invested and the other person's not, or the other person comes in to fix the other person. They don't need to be fixed. They want the other person fixed.
Nothing wrong with them. Yeah. Okay, I get what you're saying.
Honey. Okay. Yeah. And so you get that kind of thing too. And at that point, they'll back off because they get the drift. They know. And so sometimes people just don't come back because they're again not willing or ready to do the work.
Because it is work. Like, it's not work. It isn't easy and breezy. You don't get to just go in and like data dump. Like, all these things happen and all this is wrong and like, oh, I feel better now. Like, not if you go to a therapist like Lori. If you go to a therapist like Lori, it is, you really do. You like put it back on the client. It's like, fine, you listen to me rehearse, you listen to me like data dump, get it all out, but you also are like, so how did that make you feel? Or like, y'all, the first time Lori hit me with, what difference did that make for you? I'm pretty sure my head like spun around because I was like, what? I haven't thought about that. I hadn't thought from that perspective of like, did it change stuff?
Yeah.
It did change stuff. I hadn't thought about that.
I'm so glad you said that because that's the crux of why I do what I do. Mm. Because they are differences that make a difference. And if these differences don't make a difference in your life, we scratch some shits off and we start again. Your whole point, that's why I asked, what do you want? Like, what are your best hopes? Because if we find out what your best hopes are and these best hopes are not making a difference in your life, then they're definitely not your best hopes.
Okay.
They have to make a difference. It has to make a difference that it is meaningful, right? That shifts the game, that moves the needle in your life. And so for me, what I understand is this world is crazy and it's fucked up.
Yeah.
And I know I want to be a better person. And it's almost like to say, I see better, y'all. I'm always working to be better. Here's the way, y'all. If you want my help, I'm going to show you how to be better. Because 9 times out of 10, if you're coming to me, you want to be better. You want to have a better relationship. You want to have a better life. You want to get off medication. You want to do something in a way of better. And that's going to be, and it might not be easy, but you're going to leave that person. Like, if you're coming to me, you're probably going to get a divorce. Or your relationship is going to be different because it's definitely not going to be the same. Because if it's going to be the same, you want to come to me. You're probably going to quit that job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're coming to me, I'm going to be working with you to get over a hump. And I've helped so many people. And oh my God, let me tell you how rewarding that is, Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
That people are leaving narcissistic relationships and life is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody moved out of a horrible situation they were in and they moved out. They got a better job. Like almost, whew, I ain't going to cry. Whew, girl.
Keep it together.
But to know
that... Can we talk about, like, I'm still here because of you?
Thank you. People are still alive. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you could leave here. Like leave. And it's not me. So I'm never kind of glorifying myself because I don't think I'm the shit like that. I'm going to be a mirror. And that's who I am. I'm a mirror because I want to see you see yourself and who you can be.
Yeah.
And when you see who you can be, a glimpse of who you can be, that's why I say... What are your best hopes? Because when you see a glimpse of who you can be and you start to walk that walk, it ain't pretty.
Yeah. It is not cute on every day. The days when it all comes together, you'd be like, okay, yay. But getting to that day, army crawling through the mud.
I'm your cheerleader. That's another thing. I'm your cheerleader. I'm your encourager. I'm going to tell you got it. I'm going to compliment the fuck out of you because I know you were the shit. I know. We all are. And you've been beat down too long. And most of the time you've been beat by yourself. You've been beating yourself up this whole time. And I'm going to say stop.
Yeah.
Imagine that you did not beat yourself up and you did something different. You know, so I love what I do. I think it's the best thing since sliced bread, girl. And I don't even eat bread.
Except at my house.
Right. I just love it because I love us. I love to see us be better. I want to see us get over this shit. Like, get over the hardships of this world. Or like people like Trump or his cronies, you know, and also the focus of that. We got to change our gaze from these corrupt people and they taking up so much of our lives. Got to change
it. Hopefully with a little accountability, those kinds of people. I know it's far-fetched, but a girl can dream. And Rico is all around us.
So. Oh, girl, there you go with the Rico. I'm like, oh, I like that name. And then to think, Rico is a brother. Like, Rico came and said, I'm about to lock your ass up.
pretty much.
But you know what? The way we can hold people accountable is to get help, right? Like, if we're getting help more and more, we can also be accountable and we can make other people accountable. But if we're not making ourselves accountable, we're going to let people keep doing shit.
Yeah.
And folks like Trump get away with it.
Okay. Well, I could talk about therapy all day, but let's wrap this up. Typical book recommendations, takeaways. But before we do that, I forgot a part.
Okay.
Y'all, I'm going to own my shit right now. Okay. This is a call to the carpet moment. I do all the social media for us, set up all these things, try to, you know, automate things, make things easier. But the one thing I do is I avoid Facebook like the plague. Okay. I avoid it. I admit it. I avoid it. And so I've spent the last year and what are we on now? 7 months, 8 months avoiding Facebook, but also complaining that I didn't feel like we had very much engagement. And where was everybody? And how come nobody was listening to us? And how come nobody wanted to talk to us? And there's no comments. And y'all been on Facebook this whole time? This whole time. So all 8,144 of you, shout out to y'all. Thank y'all. We love y'all. We're going to do a lot better. By we, I mean me, for sure, am going to do a lot better in engaging with y'all.
Me too. So, me too. I don't do a lot of engaging because Sylvie knows. First, we ain't going to go into all that today. But I'm going to do better.
Yes.
You'll see
the
my
key
face.
Is to do better.
Yes.
The key is to do better. So, okay. Let's get to these book recommendations. What are you reading this week, Lori?
All right. So, while I was in New York, and this is the shortest book I've ever listened to. It's only 55 minutes. It's called As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. It's excellent, y'all. It's so simple, but it's excellent. As a Man Thinketh. I blinked and it was over, but it was really good. And I have to listen to it again. Practicing the Power of Now. So I'm going to tell you, this might not be for the, how can I say this? Practicing the Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, T-O-L-L-E.
Oh, yeah.
That's deep. That book is going to transcend your ass out of here into another world. You're going to just become a whole angel. But like,
Have you read Purpose Driven Life by him? Is that the one by him?
Is
it's a different one by him.
Yeah.
It's an orange covered book. It was like an Oprah book way back. Eckhart Tolle will have you he'll put you in a chokehold. Let's just start there.
That book is less than 3 hours, but I probably heard that book 10 times because I had to keep recording, you know, rewinding, listen again. And, so I'm definitely going to have to listen to that one again because this life, the way life is, ain't going to allow you to really live in the now, but you can practice. And so what I'm listening to now also is The Journey from Abandonment to Healing. By Susan Anderson.
Three books. Okay.
Yeah. So The Journey from Abandonment to Healing. That's it. I'm in chapter 2, so I can't say it's an excellent book, but what I've heard so far is really good and it's really helping people who have abandonment issues. Yeah.
Okay. The book by Eckhart Tolle that I was thinking of is A New Earth.
Oh, really?
That one got me together quite a few years ago. And then life just turned opposite, but
I'll listen for it. Yes.
It's a good one.
Okay.
So that's three books. I only have one.
Okay.
I had to go and get it. I am reading The Tuskegee Student Uprising.
Okay. Where'd you get that from?
Amazon by Brian Jones. Okay. So we all know that I love my alma mater like no other. But we all know that some days I have a love-hate relationship with it.
Mm.
And reading this book tipped me towards the, I can't stand y'all. Why didn't I know about this? Holy cow. So I am not done with it.
Okay.
But
I definitely want to hear the outcome.
It's changing my perspective towards what I already thought.
To loving your school more?
To understanding the politics, the money situation, mm-hmm. the what is valued and what is devalued, mm-hmm. just lots of different things. So the Tuskegee
the reality
student,
of things.
The Tuskegee Student Uprising mm-hmm. by Brian Jones.
Okay.
Holy cow. But yeah. Wow.
Where are okay. you in it book, by the way?
Like literally just started. Literally.
Okay.
Just started. And the first like five pages I was like, okay. Okay. So yes. All right. Any takeaways? I think I have a few. But yes.
Well,
any takeaways from
I'm taking away that this one was a really good episode that I feel like my hope is that people have a better understanding of what brings them to therapy and that you are not going to get fixed. You're not crazy. But at the same time, please go, you know, yeah. It's not about you being crazy. It's about you wanting to work on you. And there's so many good therapists out there. So that's what I'm taking away.
I'm going to say that go to therapy for the thing that you're looking for and try to work on that thing. Do not expect that just because you showed up to therapy means that that's the end all be all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, and that therapy is continuous because I really, really forever thought I just go to a couple sessions and everything is fine. I did not realize. What are we, 3 years, 4 years later? It's because life still happens.
Exactly. Because once you get one thing done, something else is going to come.
Yes, it's right there. It's waiting.
Mm-hmm. It's always some shit. Waiting. It's always some shit.
Good grief.
But you're better, so.
Yes, way better.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you haven't already, like, share, subscribe, do something with this episode, but do not keep it for yourself. We love positive reviews, even those on Facebook. Yes, please. And that's it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
That's it for this week's show. I'm Lori Scott.
And I'm Sylvia Johnson. And you've been listening to What's Been Better.
A big thank you to Lagan Music, Inc. for providing our music. This show is edited and produced by us, with a little help from our family and friends. We love you all.
We want to hear what's been better for you. To be a guest on the show, send us an email to questions@whatsbeenbetter.com. Or you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at What's Been Better Podcast.
Thanks for listening.